إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، ما يهدي الله فهو المهتد وما يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. Last time we covered the merits. Last time we started the topic on asceticism and poverty, and today, inshallah, we will cover the merits of poverty and the poor. Imam Ahmad ibn Qudama, yes. Page number 332. Imam Ahmad ibn Qudama said, "The Quran contains countless verses dealing with this subject, which is the merits of poverty. For example, Allah the Almighty praises the poor, saying, 'Charity is for those in need who in Allah's cause are restricted from travel and cannot move about in the land seeking for trade or work.' Some part is due to the indigent muhajirs, those who were expelled from their homes and their property while seeking grace from Allah and His good pleasure, and aiding Allah and His Messenger. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم." This is the ayah in Surah Al-Hashr. Yet in this ayah, it is clear that they did not seek poverty. So the issue here is not that you seek poverty or wealth. The issue is that you will be a devout servant of Allah in either condition. So wealth will not make you arrogant and proud, and poverty will not make you forget your duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sahaba did not particularly seek poverty. And as we said last time, it is not about poverty or wealth. It is about piety. And you could be pious whether you're poor or wealthy. So some people like Sulaiman alayhi salam and Uthman ibn Affan and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, they were extremely wealthy, yet they were of the greatest and most righteous. And some people were poor, like Abu Dharr lived a poor life. He was of the greatest and most righteous. So it is not, the issue is not poverty or plenty. The issue is that in either condition, you will be a devout servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will live up to the test. And the test of poverty is answered by patience. And the test of plenty is answered by gratitude. But you have to have patience and gratitude in both conditions, by the way. So you have to have patience and gratitude in the condition of poverty, and patience and gratitude in the condition of prosperity. Because with prosperity, patience is here is to contain yourself from indulgence, to contain yourself from transgression, to contain yourself from all of the ailments that come with prosperity. Indulgence is one of the ailments that come with prosperity. That's why, you know, wealthy nations, you find problems with obesity and find problems with different types of indulgence. Not only indulgence in food, but indulgence in other carnal pleasures that these all come with prosperity. And in the case of poverty, you need to have gratitude as well. Because the thing that you should be most grateful for is the fact that Allah gave you iman, Allah gave you hidayah, Allah gave you guidance, Allah saved you from the hellfire if you die in the state of iman that you have. So, is there anything bigger than this? Or, if anything else is put in the scale, and is put on the other side of the scale, and, you know, does it compare to in any sense to that ni'mah or that bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nothing. So as a poor person, you should also be grateful. So you'll be grateful and patient here and there. But the particular test of poverty and hardship requires patience with poverty. You're patient. It's not like you're not going to be grateful. You'll be grateful. But the answer to poverty is patience. And the answer to plenty and prosperity is gratitude. But you'll keep both stations. You'll stay in both stations, that of patience and that of gratitude. And the thing here that you need to remember also is, it is not, you know, the money itself is not the issue. So, like you have the daughters here, you have this money here. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this, and Allah gave it to you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that's reported by Bukhari and Muslim to Umar radiallahu anhu, مَا أَتَاكَ مِنْ هَذَا الْمَالِ وَأَنْتَ غَيْرُ مُشْرِفٍ وَلَا سَائِلٍ فَخُذْهُ وَمَا لَا فَلَا تُتْبِعْهُ نَفْسَكَ. That whatever comes to you of this money, while you're not excessive in pursuing it or begging it from people, take it. And if it does not come to you, do not let yourself be excessively eager to have it, or too eager to obtain it. So you're not too eager to obtain it. Yet as a nation, if we do not want the money, how can we have competitiveness? How can we have prosperity as a nation if we as individuals are preaching that poverty is to be sought after or to be pursued? Poverty is not to be pursued. What is to be pursued is the piety. And the piety that is not linked to poverty. If it is linked to poverty, then Sulaiman was not pious, and Uthman was not pious, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, because they were very wealthy and prosperous. It is not linked to poverty. Piety can come with poverty and plenty. Yes, for a particular individual, poverty may be better for him. But for another individual, plenty may be better for him, or prosperity. Sa'd ibn Ubadah used to say, Allahumma innaka ta'lam annahu la yuslihuni illa al-ghina. Oh Allah, you know that nothing is good for me or nothing suits me but prosperity, wealth. He was wealthy before he converted to Islam. And when he converted to Islam, they used to say, كَانَ الْوَحْدُ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ يَأْخُذُ الرَّجُلَ وَالرَّجُلَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ إِلَى بَيْتِهِ وَكَانَ سَعْدُ بْنُ عُبَادَةَ يَمْضِي بِالثَّمَانِينَ رَجُلًا مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ إِلَى بَيْتِهِ. One of the people of Ansar, the narrator says that the people of Ansar, everyone would take one or two people of the Muhajirin to his home to feed them. And Sa'd ibn Ubadah would take 80 of them to feed them. So this is who he was. He was extremely generous, extremely giving, and he knew that prosperity is better for him. So he said, he used to ask Allah for prosperity, and he used to say, Allah, you know that nothing suits me but prosperity. But how did he use it? He used it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not about the money. But the other thing that you have to remember here is that for some people poverty may be better, for some people plenty may be better, but for all people, excessiveness and indulgence is not good, even if you are wealthy. Excessiveness in pursuing the pleasures, the carnal pleasures and the lower pleasures of this life is not good, even if you're wealthy. Yes, وَأَمَّا بِنَعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, which means that you should show off the bounty of Allah on you. You should not not in the negative meaning of showing off, but you should show Allah's bounties on you. Like if you're wealthy, you do not need to particularly dress badly or to be disheveled in your look so that you can act a certain way, so that you can impress the people with your zuhd or your asceticism or your wara or your piety. You don't need to impress anyone. If you seek poverty or look poor to impress the people, then that in and by itself hypocrisy and ostentation. So if you're wealthy, you will show Allah's bounties on you. And if you are not, then you will just act accordingly. Excessiveness is when you overdo it. Excessiveness is when you're consumed into buying, you know, the best shirt or the best tie, and you spend, you know, like half a day looking for a tie, or you spend half a day looking for like a particular vase that looks in a particular way, and that is that's indulgence, excessiveness, frivolity. That is waste of time, waste of energy. And that is not prescribed for anyone. And that is not good for the ummah. What is good for the ummah is that people are not particularly preached to seek poverty. They are told that the money is not bad. Money in and by itself, Allah called it khayr in the Quran. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. And He is very loving, extremely loving of al-khayr. Al-khayr is goodness. Here in this ayah, it means money. And the Prophet said, مَالُ الصَّالِحِ لِلْرَجُلِ الصَّالِحِ, or good money is good for a good servant. He said this to Amr ibn al-As, رضي الله عنه. So the issue is that as an ummah, we will not be seeking to the poverty or pursuing it, but we will be seeking strength. That's what the ummah is asked to do. وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمَّ اسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Prepare for them every kind of power you can prepare. And economic power is not power. Economic power is the power. That's the driving force behind all kinds of power. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called this money the means of maintenance. وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. Do not give the feeble-minded amongst you your money that Allah made as a means of maintenance for you. So that is clear. The issue that we want to also shine some light on is that this money, you keep it in your hand, you keep it away from your heart. But not only that you keep it in your hand and away from your heart, because you can keep it in your hand and keep looking at it like this. So it will obstruct your vision. And so you will be, you know, thinking about the money and what to do and so on. But keep it in your hand and see through it. See through it. What do I mean by see through it? You look at this and you understand that this is just but a piece of paper. This money itself, and for you know, for centuries, this happened to people in many countries, in many places, many times, can lose all of its value. You know that the Iraqi currency, you know, what the Iraqi currency was and what it is now. So people had a lot of money, you know, but all of a sudden, it lost all of its value. So the money is but a means. Allah gave it to you. Also, this money will not buy you happiness. Also, this money will not cure your sick child. No matter how much money you have. Otherwise, you have the richest people in the whole world, and they have sick kids, and they grieve over the sickness of their kids. No, the money, the millions of dollars, cannot cure the child, cannot bring happiness to your heart, you know. And will bring you an anxiety if you keep looking at it. If you keep looking at it, it will bring you an anxiety. See through it. Do you know the concept of vanishment? The vanishment of a creation. There are two concepts of vanishment. There is a concept of the extreme Sufis who say that vanishment, they talk about existential vanishment. So vanishment of the existence in true essence of the word vanishment, in true essence. And that vanishment of the existence brings you to what? To complete kufr. Because vanishment of the existence, or vanishment of the creation, or the existential vanishment of the creation, means that we're not present. And if we are not present, yet you know that you're present, but you're denying that you as a creature present. In this case, what are you? You're part of God. Because if there is vanishment in existence of the creation, then you can't deny that you exist because you're here. Then who are you? Then you're part of God. And that's what Al-Hallaj said, one of the extreme Sufis. Al-Hallaj said that there is nothing inside this cloak or garment except God. And that's what it leads to. Yet, there is another type of Sunni vanishment, or a Sunni concept of vanishment. The Sunni concept of vanishment is the perceptual vanishment, not the existential vanishment. Perceptual vanishment means the creation vanishes in your perception, but you know that they exist. They are here in front of you. But you're not seeing them. You're seeing through them. Because you're seeing, you know, you are observing Allah through them. You know that these are creatures that Allah created. These are phenomena. You know, different types of creations. The one behind all of them, the one who has the power to give them life, to maintain them, to keep them, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, to you, they're like toys. It's like the puppet show. Those puppets on the puppet show, do they do anything? No. So the people in front of you, all the people in front of you will be like toys. And you could better say they'll be like glass. Very clear glass. The glass exists, right? But can it prevent you from seeing behind it? Particularly if it is a very good quality clear glass. No. When you look at it, you don't see it at all. You see what's behind the glass. And if you have so much light behind the glass, shining light behind the glass, then it will make that glass even more and more clear. So you will not really notice the glass at all. You will notice what is behind the glass. So the money, just like the people, this is a creation of God, and the people are a creation of God. You will be treating your wife and looking through her and observing God. So if she acts in a way that is displeasing, you will not overreact because you're seeing through her. So you're seeing that her way, her behavior, is a test for you. So it does not come down to me and her, or, you know, it doesn't come down to this struggle. But it comes down to, now Allah is testing me through her. Because you will always be seeing things this way. Allah is testing me through him, my partner, my co-worker, my neighbor, everyone, and he's doing me something good, then that's a test from Allah. The recompense of good should only be good. Should the recompense or compensation of kindness be anything but kindness? So, and he's treating me bad. Therefore, what should I do? You know, I can retaliate without transgression. I am recommended to forgive. I am more recommended or higher, you know, the highest recommendation or the recommendation that is greatest is to compensate his bad action by my, or to answer by kindness, to answer his transgression by kindness. Then in this case, if I am not seen through him, I will not be able to do this. If he is the end, if I'm not seeing anything but him, and sometimes it comes down to this, with many, many times, people come down to not see anything but the person right in front of their eyes, or the struggle that they're going through today, or the trial that they're going through this month. That is it. That's it. They're very limited. They're not seeing beyond this. They are not seeing through it. But if you have perceptual banishment of the creation, which is a very high, it's an extremely high station. The creation vanishes in your perception. So they are like glass that you're seeing through. This is glass that you're seeing through. So you're seeing this as a bounty from Allah. You're observing Allah through it, and you're not stopping here. It's not obstructing your vision. You know that He gave it to you, so it's not obstructing your vision. Therefore, you will know how to use it right. And the same applies to individuals, and that's the perceptual vanishment. Examples of this is when the Prophet ﷺ, for instance, you know, and certainly the best example is in him, when he was sick and a physician came, you know, a healer came, and he said to him, "Let me look at your back, for I am knowledgeable in medicine." And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Allahu Tabib, Allahu Tabib." He said to him, "Allah is the healer." Does this mean that the Prophet is saying that there is no medicine? No, absolutely not. The Prophet accepted recipes and prescriptions from the people who used to visit him, as Aisha said, and he used to seek treatment and so on and so forth. Yet, this is a condition of perceptual vanishment. At this point, the Prophet ﷺ, knew that his disease is just in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if He wishes to cure him, He will cure him. And so that's perceptual vanishment. There is a piece of poetry that says, قل للطبيب تخطفته يد الردى من يا طبيب بطبه أرداك قل للمريض نجا وعوفيا بعدما عجزت فنون الطب من عافاك. Say to the healer, Tabib is the physician, healer. To say to the healer who was grabbed by death or the hands of death, من يا طبيب بطبه أرداك, who caused you to die, O physician, or O healer. If you're the healer, who caused you to die? قُلْ لِلْمَرِيدِ نَجَى وَعُوفِيَ بَعْدَمَا عَجَزَتْ فُنُونُ الطُّبِّ مَنْ عَافَاكَ. Say to the patient or to the sick who survived and became healthy after all of the art of medicine failed to cure him, who gave you health? Who made you survive? And you do see this very frequently. You do see this very frequently. You see someone blind walking through the crowd without tripping. And you see someone with his 20/20 sight tripping in a hole. And you see all of this. So behind all of this, you're seeing the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're seeing the doing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when you see the trees, the green leaves, and then the change of colors, even when you look at the clouds, every cloud has a different shape. You just don't look at the cloud and stop there, but see through it. Every cloud has a different shape. Who shaped them? Nothing happens without a doer. There is no doing without a doer. There is no making without a maker. And the printing that you see here on this carpet, someone did it. So if you look at the clouds, you see that every cloud has a different shape. And sometimes they have different colors. But you should see through it. And the same applies to looking at the trees. You should see through it. That all of those trees, you know, Allah will bring the cycles of seasons, the cycles of the change of plants and colors of the trees and so on and so forth. So the issue here of poverty, back to the issue of poverty, is that the money, as long as you can see through it, will not be bad for you. But if you will not be able to see through it, it will certainly destroy you, because it will obstruct your vision from seeing the causer, from seeing the effector, from seeing the creator, from seeing the provider. And it will distract you from his worship. And you may be a worshiper of that very money. Because the Prophet ﷺ used to say, Tais abdu ad-dinar, Tais abdu ad-dirham. May he be a loser, may he be stricken by loss, the slave of dinar and the slave of dirham. And dinar is the gold currency, and dirham is the silver currency. So that's it. That's what I wanted to say about this issue, because it's just quite important that you that this issue of poverty and wealth, and what should I do, what should I seek, and what should I not seek, and what's excessiveness and what's not excessiveness. It certainly keeps people busy thinking of these issues. But like I said, that money will not matter. Will not matter, because you will be seen through it. And as long as you're seen through it, it's not going to matter. If it is here, you're seen through it. If it is not here, you're still seen through it. You're still seen through that poverty, that lack of money. Because it's all they're different manifestations of the same eternal existential test from Allah. He's testing our devotion. So it's here, that's a test. It's not here, it's a different test. As long as you're seen through, you'll be able to handle this quite well, whether you have it or you don't.